Good to be back with you today, and grateful for the opportunity that we've had to associate together in a meal, and now to have this time to come back together to study God's Word together. I want to say that I am very appreciative to be in a congregation where all of the elders are involved in teaching and preaching in some capacity. Jay's sermon this morning, I thought, was excellent and a very fitting conclusion to what we have been studying this quarter. And I don't think it could have been said any more clearer than that. I'm grateful to be back from a whirlwind trip over the past few days and to be back here to preach this afternoon. December will mark this past December marked the one anniversary of the death of my dear friend and fellow preacher, Paul Meacham. And this past week, the 27th, would have been his 57th birthday. He was a brilliant man. He was a wonderful preacher and excelled at everything that he did. I considered him to be my source of wisdom and thinking. And after he passed from this life, I still talked to his wife, April, regularly. And she gave me access to all of his files from his computer. That's all of the sermons that he had preached, all of the counseling material that he had produced, and so just a treasure trove of things. And looking back through some of that this past week, I came across a sermon that I wanted to look over and to preach at least some form of it today. The title of it is "The Secret of Living is Bearing Fruit." You know, many have asked the question, what is the secret of life? And some have written songs. James Taylor had a song that he released in 1977 entitled "The Secret of Life." And in that song, the essence of what he said was, the secret of life is to enjoy the passing of time. At least that was the conclusion that he drew. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, a different version of that, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." So I guess in a sense you could say that was Solomon's wise conclusion of what the secret of life is. In the outset of Paul's sermon, I guess you would say his introductory comments, he wrote this statement. William James was an American doctor who lived from 1842 to 1910. He was considered by most to be the great thinker and the one most responsible for elevating the study of psychology to a science. If you've taken a psychology class, you've come across the name William James before. In his time, he observed that the great use of life is to spend it for something that outlasts it. In this, he was surely correct, Paul said, for the Bible defines life as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, James chapter 4 and verse 14. And the Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. We understand then that the key to a good life is to live it with an eye for the things that are beyond this life. And in this, we can say the secret to living is to bear fruit. I want to make some observations as Paul made them and having adapted them just a little bit, to drive this point home for us this afternoon. First, it is important that we observe that our lives are in the balance. Think of a scale or our lives. And in that balance, there is life and death. That scale is easily tipped. We see it in our lives regularly. Paul learned that in his own very young life. My Paul, not the Apostle Paul, but him too, really. It's easily tipped. And there are two forces in this world that are trying to make meaning out of our life, to bring about the secret of life. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10 that the thief comes for the purpose of stealing and killing and to destroy. That's what the devil is trying to do with our lives. That's no secret. But Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That in our lives there is abundance. And that doesn't just amount to having money, riches, wealth, prosperity, but abundance in the sense of reaching into the time beyond it, even into eternity and the various ways that that might be accomplished. So if we're going to get to the secret of life and understand the meaning of life, we need to live in view of the fact that our lives are in the balance. And we don't control that balance. And it can tip at any time. The second observation that Paul made in thinking about this subject was that living must amount to more than just being alive. Now, think about that for a moment. Living has to amount to more than just being alive. Because the Bible talks about some people who were very much living, but the Bible says they were dead. Here are a few. The church at Sardis. You have a name that you were alive, but you are dead. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. Here is a church that was living in its own mind, maybe even living on a reputation that it was alive and thriving, but they didn't have or grasp the secret of life because evidently they weren't bearing fruit that would live beyond their mere existence. And Jesus said through John that they were dead. What about the prodigal who took his inheritance from his father and went to a far country and wasted it all on riotous living? And then in a moment of self-reflection, as he sat there in the pig pen, realizing his want and his lack, he decided to return home to his father in a very penitent way. He said, I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no more worthy to be called your son. You know how that unfolds. When he gets back home to his father throws a celebration. And he said, this, my son, was dead, but now he is alive. You see, this young man had taken his life in a direction where he would not enjoy or know the secret of life, that is, bearing fruit. In the place where he was and in the condition where he was, he would never again bear fruit unto God. But thankfully, he came home. And he was now again in his penitence in a position to bear that fruit. Another, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and verses 1 and 2, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul reminds the church at Ephesus that before coming to Christ, they were dead in their sins. In death, there is no bearing fruit. Now that's physical as well as spiritual. But here is a group of people who were converted to Christ and they've been brought from death to life and now are in a position to bear fruit. And right now at this very moment, you and I are reading about them in an epistle written to them and their lives, the abundance of their lives, the fruit that they bore continues to produce fruit today in our learning and our study of them. So, again, In the second place tonight, or this afternoon, just tonight means this afternoon, living must be about more than just being alive. And especially is that the case in our spiritual sense or in a spiritual way. Our bearing fruit must have to do with beyond this life. Jesus recognized it that way with Sardis. The prodigal was dead though living, and in the church at Ephesus was once dead but alive through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the third point or observation. Get your Bible handy for this one. The secret to living meaningful, abundant life, then, is bearing fruit. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at, let's begin at verse 5. Peter writes, "But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ." You see, we are to add to our faith these qualities and these characteristics of spiritual development so that we are fruit-bearing children of God, and that we not only discover for ourselves, but we demonstrate the secret of life, the purpose of life, the meaning of life. To reach beyond the here and now into eternity, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of those in our sphere of influence as well. Go back over to Galatians chapter 5. Begin at verse 22 with me. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We have the Word of God provided by the Spirit of God that has been animated. It has been given life by God. And when we take that word and we plant it in our hearts, it is able to produce the very fruit that we read about here. The fruit that gives meaning to living in a way that doesn't just benefit us as far as our fleshly physical existence is concerned, but it affects us and influences us into eternity, and it influences the people around us into eternity, hopefully, as well. The secret to living a meaningful, abundant life is bearing fruit, and the Word of God helps us to do that. Look at Luke chapter 8 as well. If you get concerned by somebody beside you, just reach over and check their pulse. And I know it's a challenge. So let's turn our pages and stay focused for just a few more minutes. Luke 8, verses 5 through 8. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and it was as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, but others fell on good ground," look, "sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When the seed is planted in our heart, if the soil is right and it's ready to receive that seed, the increase will come by virtue of the fact of the seed that has been planted there and the condition of that soil. Look at verse 11. The parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. We have to plant the seed in other people's hearts to help them produce the fruit as well that will bring about meaning in their lives so that they too can discover the secret and the meaning of life. Well, a natural outgrowth of all of this is the question, how much fruit must I bear? How much fruit is God expecting me to bear as a Christian? Let's explore that for just a moment in our final thought this afternoon. The first thing we need to realize about that is the power is in the seed, not in the soil. I do not know how many lives I will affect or won't affect, for that matter, as a gospel preacher. I have no idea. I have been in places where I've spoken before and have gone somewhere else in the country and have run into people who have said, I was there, I heard this lesson at this time of my life, and it has helped me in dealing with the things that I was dealing with. I had no idea. But you don't have to be a preacher to experience that. Just being a Christian who has discovered the secret or the meaning of life, being bearing fruit, you too in your life will have opportunity to influence people. And you don't know when those opportunities are and how that influence will come about. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. I don't need to get caught up in how much fruit bearing is sufficient. I just need to be of a condition to bear fruit and let God give the increase, because the power is in the seed. The produce will be exponential. Luke's not the only one that wrote about this parable that Jesus told. If you look back at Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, look at verse 23, and look how Matthew's account renders this. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Why the variety? Well, some soils are 100-fold soils. Some are 60. Some are 30. Not everybody's talents and abilities are exactly equal. Some may be in the category of reaching more people. Some may be in the category of reaching the people that that person couldn't reach. We all have our different talents and abilities, and our produce in bearing fruit will be commensurate with the ability that we have, that God understands, and that God doesn't expect more of than we are capable. That's indicated by the parable of the talents. There was the five, the two, and the one. And Jesus was pleased, or the master rather, was pleased with the produce of those who had just taken what they had received and basically doubled it. But the man who was given so little was still given what he was capable of accomplishing, but he didn't even do that. God expects of us what we are capable of doing in bearing fruit. And one person may seem more influential than others in bearing fruit and bringing people to Christ through the gospel. But that doesn't negate the significance, the importance, and the value of the seeming little that I might do. The point is, I am to be a fruit bearer. If I am to discover and know the secret to life, then I will learn and discover that it is to bear fruit. To bear fruit beyond just living, but to live my life in a way and to be fruitful in a way that when the scale is tipped in my life, the balance tips, and I enter into eternity, the fruit that I have borne will be such that will lead me to hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. And it will be such that it continues to influence people after me. I mean, Jay hit the nail on the head this morning in talking about our responsibility and our duties to our children. Much of that for which they will be accountable to God will likely come in their life after we have departed from the scene as their parents. And will our influence in their life and the fruit that we have borne in their lives be such that will influence them into eternity in a good way as well? The secret then to living is bearing fruit, and bearing fruit even into eternity. May God help us to be those kinds of fruit bearers in view of the brevity of our lives. This afternoon, as we bring this service to a close, we extend the Lord's invitation. There may be one present here who needs to obey the gospel. Never has. But what a perfect opportunity to do that, to bear fruit even today to God's glory through obedience to the gospel, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. Become a Christian from death to life, even today. Or maybe you're a child of God who has not borne fruit, has not thought about the secret or the meaning of life in the way that we have described this afternoon. I hope that we've all been challenged in some way to be fruit bearers, to live our lives in a way that demonstrate that we understand that it's about more than the here and now. It's about how will what I'm doing today reach into eternity in my life and in the life of those who are in my sphere of influence. Let's plant, let's water, and let's give God something to work with so that he can make the increase. If you're subject to the invitation this afternoon, we hope you'll come as we stand and sing.